Grow Great, the podcast, episode 4038. Welcome inside the Ellis Studio. My name is Randy Kentrell, your host here at Grow Great, the podcast. That's also the website, growgreat.com. It is episode 4038. So if you go to the website, just plug in that number in the search bar. That's the whole reason for episode numbers. Today it's about dialogue, not monologue. Hope all is well with you. It has been a while since I've been with you. I've been remiss because I've been busy. I've been doing some things, but I may tell you a little bit more about that later. Hey, let's dive right in. Educating prospective clients is it's a necessary process for, well, I think for almost all of us. We need to explain, or we feel like we need to explain what we do, how we do it. And sometimes we have to show our clients why it matters. Teaching has long been a component of effective selling, and increasingly in this technical age in which we live, there are a lot of sophisticated solutions out there that need an awful lot of education. There's just new products, and there's all kinds of innovation, and sometimes these things need explanations. Just peruse YouTube, and you will find all kinds of explanation kinds of videos that companies and individuals are producing to try to educate their prospective buyers. What's often forgotten is that it's teaching with a purpose. And that was brought home to me when I encountered a gentleman whose business was unfamiliar to me. It was eye-opening. Not so much because I was gaining clarity about what he did and how he did it, but because I found myself just totally not caring. That's happened to you too. We encounter somebody and they just begin to drone on and on about their business. And it's a casual conversation and your eyes just roll up in the back of your head. I know it's happened to you. It's happened to me. Good intentions aside, it leaves us feeling badly about the encounter. Somebody asks you what you do and 5 minutes later you realize that you're droning on and on and they're just north of comatose. That's where I don't know if I was north of comatose. I was probably south of it. You feel like you blew what might have been a good opportunity for you to put your best foot forward. And we have all done it. The culprit? Well, you Johnny Carsoned them. That's right. You delivered a monologue and you put them to sleep. Now, Johnny didn't put us to sleep. Well, okay. He came on late at night, so he did put a lot of people to sleep. But it wasn't because he wasn't entertaining. But we monologue people and come on, we're not Johnny Carson. It sounded better in my head. You live daily with your stuff, your work, your desires, your goals, your fears, your life. It's you. You, 24/7, 365. And it can't be helped, really. I mean, these two portholes that you've got that we call eyes, they serve to provide your constant view of the world. But it can be helped. I think it can be helped if you make the effort. You can begin approaching life from a different viewpoint. And in fact, today, I'm encouraging you to force yourself to look at the world through a different lens. Stop thinking about yourself. Stop thinking about all that you got going on and think about the person in front of you. Think about the person that's on the phone with you. Think about the person that's opening your email. Think about the person that is viewing your website. Think about the person that's listening to your podcast or watching your video. It's not about you. And this is a ridiculously hard thing. And it requires consistent training and discipline. After you realize that you've blown this opportunity by talking too much, and I know I have done it plenty of times myself, you're tempted to think, you know, it sounded pretty good when I rehearsed it in my head. And that's why I don't judge intentions. Because I know that my intentions have been and usually are honorable. And usually I am focusing on the time constraint that I fear might be in play with the prospect. So I want to respect their time. I want to respect their integrity. So I don't, you know, I don't hold back giving them some bait and switch feeling. In fact, that's the opposite of what I want to give them. But the results, when I lose focus, the results aren't good. They're just not good, even with those good intentions. So let's talk this through and let's figure out how we can stop sabotaging ourselves. The power of a question. You meet a new person. Let's assume it's somebody that you really are pleased to meet. What do you say? Well, most of us, after introducing ourselves and telling the person that it's nice to meet you, we want to know more. We want to find out more about this person. And our curiosity drives us to naturally do what works in sales. And it works in just personal interaction. And it works because it's part of what we are naturally built to do in order to gain trust and to satisfy our curiosity. We want to know more about this person. We show a genuine interest in this person. What do? We ask them a question. We don't run off at the mouth. Well, okay. Yeah, there are some among us who do that. And when we do that, and we can all be prone to do it, does it ever develop into a good relationship? No. But we have met that guy, you know, that guy who just can't wait to tell us everything and more about himself, likes to hear his head rattle. And as we swivel our head like an owl looking for a quick exit, we may only remember his name and try to memorize this face so that we can permanently avoid this guy at all costs in the future. We're captivated by this new person that we've met, though. Let's assume that we are. I mean, we're interested. We're intrigued. We want to know more about this person. And the only way to find out is, yes, ask them a question. And it's a strong expression of our interest in them, not ourselves. It's tantamount to the guy who goes out on a date for the first time with a girl and he hits the ground running. He runs off at the mouth, telling her all about himself, never asking her anything. It's not going to go well. It's not going to go well for you either. Doesn't go well for me. Start with a question. Sometimes it's awkward, but it is still the way to go. I have asked prospects a question, and sometimes the reception to the question has been, shall we say, chilly. Conversation's not hard for me, so I'll wiggle my way through, and I'll try a slightly different approach. But if the difficulty persists, I do not press. Nope, I bail out. And that's a strategic decision because in my work, I'm able to make a judgment on who I want to work with. And I figure if I can't establish quick rapport after a little bit of an effort, we're likely not going to be a good fit for each other. And that's perfectly okay. In fact, it's better to figure that out sooner than later. Now, your circumstances might be different. Almost every time I exercise the discipline to remain true to my natural curiosity about the other person, they start talking, and it leads to a very productive conversation. My personal challenge is to keep the conversation directed so we're talking with a purpose of my ability to uncover or find a way where I can serve them, where I can help them. It's not just a conversation for the sake of conversation. It's not just a therapeutic session. I have to continue to focus on purpose while we're having this dialogue. Forgetting the goal is a common problem in sales conversations. Every time it happens to me, I hate myself for it. You do that? I do. Man, I can just go back and think, man, alive. I so should have done that differently. The old marketing adage, I think, is wrong. And you've heard it. You can't say the wrong thing to the right person, and you can't say the right thing to the wrong person. You ever heard that? I've heard that all my life. Sure you can. Sure you can. You can absolutely say the wrong thing to the right person, and you can absolutely say the right thing to the wrong person. And we've all done it. I think that adage just makes us feel better when we know that we've blown it. We just want to try to console ourselves by thinking, well, you know, you can't say the wrong thing to the right person. They just weren't the right person. I mean, we have all these excuses, and I think that's exactly what they are. The first time we meet somebody, either in person or on the phone or online, they don't know us. We don't know them. Both of us are making instant judgments based on what is said, based on what is not said, based on how the interaction goes, based on how it is said. I've been involved in business interactions since I was a teenager, and through the years I have learned that my curiosity about others and my genuine desire to learn more about people and their business, it does not always translate into a great conversation. Now, people can tell you, and I've heard trainers teach people that that's what fuels it, and I'm not saying that it doesn't necessarily fuel it, but I'm going to tell you it's not the end-all be-all, because I'm naturally wired that way, and it doesn't always translate into this great, wonderful dialogue. Sometimes we catch people at the wrong time. Sometimes we catch people who just don't enjoy sharing. Sometimes we catch people who really don't want to talk about themselves. Sometimes we catch people who are very guarded, and that's just how they roll. There are a lot of reasons why asking a question, even a great question, might fail. I'm telling you, resist the temptation to think that the strategy has failed. That just is not true. You just sometimes encounter a rare person who is not open to dialogue. We can't presuppose that everybody is. And it's at those times that I find myself rambling on about why I called and what I do and how I do it. But when I'm on top of my game, I resist that, and I politely ask them if there might be a better time to talk or some other strategy to end this conversation at this moment, with the goal of setting up another time to talk or finding out if they even have interest in setting up another time to talk. I don't know if this is how they are all the time or not. I've never known. I don't know these people. If I'm talking to somebody and they seem guarded, am I to assume that, well, they're guarded with everybody? Am I to take it personal and think, well, they're guarded with me? No, you got to get rid of all that head trash and just assume maybe I caught them at a bad time. Maybe they are this way, but does one instance prove it? No, that's why I'm pushing for, let's pick this conversation up at another time. I don't know what life is like for them at this very moment. And bull rushing into a conversation that they're not ready to have, I think, is a waste of time. It's a big waste of their time. It's a waste of my time. And it never makes me feel good. And if it doesn't make me feel good, you know what I'm suspecting? It doesn't make them feel good either. So why push forward? But you've done it. I've done it. Yeah, I'm telling you, stop doing it. Don't push. Uncover the problems. It seems trite, but it works. And I think it works because it's crazy rare for people to ask us about our problems. Nobody wants to hear about what's wrong. Few people want to help us with our problems. It just doesn't happen. Hardly ever. And that includes salespeople who have vast experience. You have to do what you have to do. And this is where scripts fail, and they fail every time. Follow a script that works for somebody else, and you may find that it falls flat when you use it, because most of us aren't great actors. Great actors, they can take a script and they can own it. They can become that character. Now, if you're that good, go to Hollywood, because you'll make more money. But if you're like me, you're not that good. And besides, I'm not a fan of acting in business. I think we need to leave the acting for entertainment. Pretending to be something or somebody other than who you really are is not a good idea when you're working to serve somebody. You owe it to them to let them see and hear the genuine you. Don't expect people to make a decision on doing business with you when you refuse to let them see the real you. I mean, that's just bait and switch at the lowest, well, I don't know, maybe the highest level. It's dishonest is what it is. No, Find a way to uncover the problems that your prospect is suffering. I can tell you what works for me, but I don't want you to copy it. I want you to use it, and I want you to then think about what you can do. I want you to try some things, and I want you to modify some things until you find something that works for you. Now, I'm a candid communicator. If you've listened to this podcast for any length of time, you have figured that out. People pick up on that within the first few seconds of a conversation with me. It's genuine, and it is true to my character and my personality. So I roll with it. I own it. And that enables me to ask pointed questions quickly. I might ask you, if I were a superhero and I'm wearing a cape and I'm capable of flying into your office right now and solving your biggest problem, what would that be? What problem would I solve for you today, right now? I can get by with asking that question, and more often than not, the other person's going to say, do I just get one? And it breaks the ice, and we chuckle, and I'll insist and go, yep, just one. What would it be? They will always tell me. And sometimes with a quick answer, sometimes not. And if it's quick, meaning it's short, I'll ask them, well, tell me more. I might even just blurt out, well, elaborate. And again, this works because it fits my personality and my style. Now, I could give that script to 10 other people, and it might not work anytime. But it works for me because it's natural, it's not contrived, and it comes across that way. It comes across as natural because it is. Doesn't mean it's right for you. What's right for you is to put in the time and the effort to think about how you can best uncover the problems and the pain of the people that you're trying to serve. Now, another reason that this strategy works for me is because I operate from a fundamental belief that most people don't care about the problems of other people. Does that sound cynical? Well, I am. I freely admit I am cynical for good reason, because I think it's right. I think it's true. I think most people don't care about your problems, and I genuinely do. I know how magical it is because I rarely, if ever, experience it in my own life. Here's a quick test. When is the last time somebody asked you about your problems, your struggles, or your pain? Are you still thinking about it? Did you have to think about it? Or are you like me? I don't need any time to think about it. I can instantly tell you, I can't remember. I can't remember the last time anybody asked me about my life. I can't remember the last time anybody asked me about what was going on with me, in a sense that, you know, what are you struggling with? What's the problem? What can I help you with? I cannot remember the last time that happened to me. Now, I don't know if that says something about the people I hang with or not, but listen, even our friends don't do it. Proof that when you engage people in conversation with a genuine interest in them, you are so far ahead of the game, it's not even funny. You are so far out in front. But don't do it if you don't mean it. Don't do it if you really don't care. Don't do it if it's just a tactic, because it'll blow up in your face. And not everybody is going to know how to react to it. Once in a blue moon, I'll encounter somebody, like I mentioned earlier, they just don't know what to do with the question. Or maybe they're uncomfortable with the question. That's fine. I don't push. I never push. Instead, I pull back. I start retreating, trying to see if they're interested in continuing the conversation along another path or maybe at a different time. Now, sales pros might tell me, well, that's a terrible mistake. But my experience has taught me that my timetable is not relevant here. Their timetable, that's the only timetable that matters. And this is really hard if you are under a sales quota and desperate. Stop thinking that your prospect cares about those things. They don't. They don't care about your quota. They don't care about your desperation. You're just going to start developing bad habits if you continue to operate from a place of desperation and urgency. And I get that we need to make things happen, but the more you press, the more you're going to find resistance. Your clients or your prospective clients don't care about your timetable, and nor should they. Stop trying to make them care. And stop resenting them when they don't. Through the years, I've had plenty of salespeople. I was thinking about this as I was preparing for today's show. I've had so many salespeople sit across from me. And here, I'm recording this on December the 1st, 2016. And at the very end of a month, as guys are trying to close out a month, which would have been yesterday, obviously, November the 30th, sometimes sales guys would approach me with how close they were to their quota. They might have some contest going. There might be some other reason that they really need me to take action today. Like I'm going to do what's best for them at the expense of doing what's best for my company. It's selfish, it's wrongheaded, and it's stupid. Don't do it. But there are pros out there. There are sales professionals. There are guys who've been in sales for a long, long time who do it. And I can promise you, yesterday, November 30th, I can promise you there were a lot of salespeople who made calls in person and on the phone and through email imploring people to take action because they needed them to. If you have got some kind of a musher of a boss, I'm telling you, get out. Find a better gig as soon as you can. Now, accountability is great. Sales funnels are great. You got to do the work. You got to put in the hustle. But pressure to make a sale because you need it is stupid and foolish. Might work once in a while, but it is a poor career strategy. Don't develop that habit. And if you have developed that habit, break it. Break it now. Follow up the question with more questions. Okay, another test. I want you to think about yourself for a moment. Yep, I'm giving you permission. This is all about you. Have you ever been asked something and you reveal something really personal, something important, only to have the person move right on past what you just told them? And maybe you've seen it or you've heard it in interviews, but let's keep it about you. You've, as I commonly say, you've kind of shown your underwear. You've really let somebody in on something and they just gloss right over it. You ever had that happen to you? I mean, it's like they didn't even hear what you just told them. Do not do that with your prospects or your clients. Pay attention, gain understanding of what they're telling you. I think sometimes we're afraid to continue with other questions. Now, I grew up in an era when sales training experts, they called it probing. You don't hear that word much anymore because I think, well, we're in such a PC world today. Some people take offense at that term. I've never put a negative connotation on it because that is exactly what it is. We are probing. We're probing with a purpose. We're probing politely, but we are probing. We are trying to gain deeper, greater understanding of what's bothering our client, what their problems are, what their challenges are. And we really want to know what they're struggling with so that we can figure out how we can help. How can we best serve them? And when they share their concerns with us, we often think that that's our cue to dive into our pitch. Wrong. Don't do it. No, don't do it, man. Lean into the problem with questions to gain an even better understanding. Let me tell you what I learned from complaining customers. I was just 16 years old. I was selling hi-fi gear at a local stereo shop. Yeah, you don't know what those are because they don't exist today much, but people used to buy stereo equipment. Imagine that. Customers would walk in with some piece of gear. They might have a turntable in their hand, and it was a signal to everybody in the store. Here is a customer with a problem. And all the other salespeople, we were all working on straight commission. They would run like roaches when the lights get turned on. I mean, it was like you couldn't find, they just scattered quickly. My natural inclination was not to run. My natural inclination was not to hide. My natural inclination was to step up and to help this person. I would very quickly approach them at the front door and I would take whatever piece of gear they had, especially if it was a woman, and I knew we had a service shop. We had a technician who could repair gear. And so that was one thing. But I also learned that sometimes these people needed to replace the very item they were bringing in. Because guess what? Sometimes it costs more money to fix it than it did to replace it. and I wanted to be the person to get their business. And I also knew that they might not remember who sold them the gear. In fact, the odds were high they wouldn't. But you know what they would remember? They would remember the guy who helped them with the problem. Because we all do. I knew that instinctively when I was 16 years old. Mostly, I just had the wiring and the personality and the demeanor for it. Nobody taught it to me. It was my very first sales retail job. Now, I can tell you, I have taught others through the years. Sometimes people would come in the door and they would be pretty angry. Sometimes they would, it would be a piece of gear that they had just bought. Well, they wanted to vent. They wanted to gripe. For some reason, it never flustered me. I would just listen carefully and I would quickly say, I understand. Let's see what we can do to solve this. I didn't argue with people. I knew I wouldn't want to be argued with. I just want somebody to listen to me. The owner of the store, he saw this happen a few times, and so he very quickly gave me the job of handling customer service problems and complaints. I was the least experienced guy in the shop, but he saw the benefit of how I handled these people. I knew people with problems needed time to breathe and vent. I had watched my mother and my grandmother cook enough to know that when that pot with a lid on it is boiling, you got to do something. You got to do something right away to let that steam escape so it won't boil over. You got to let people run with the line for a little bit to see where it goes. And you have to let them vent. That steam's going to go somewhere. I love the process. I love the process because I know it's one of my few superpowers, and not everybody can do it. I can. So I lean into it and I fully embrace it. But I got another superpower. I don't have many, but here's a second one that I got, and I employ it. And sometimes I get criticized. I get criticized by some business gurus about it. Empathy. I reek with empathy, and there's not one thing I can do about it. And you put those two together, and I cannot avoid probing for more details and insights. I want to know more. A business owner tells me not long ago that she is worried about cash flow. Cash management. When I ask the problem, what's the number one thing? If I could solve your problem, what would it be? And she, without hesitation, says cash flow. Cash management is an ongoing problem for her, even though the company is performing at a high level, sales are good, and she can't understand it. It keeps her up at night, and you can hear the exhaustion in her voice. We've never met. She's four states away from me. This is our first phone call. I tell her, well, tell me more. I resist the urge, after all these years of business building, to ask a closed-end question because I don't know her. I don't know her business. I don't know her situation. And she talks about some accounting challenges, and it opens up the conversation for a deeper dive. It's obvious to me that I have uncovered pain, the kind of pain that keeps a person awake at night, the kind of pain that keeps a business owner fretful. And if you don't show interest and if you don't show concern, you'll never be able to go where you need to go. You'll never be able to take a client or a prospect to where they need to go. And what good is that? It's no good at all. That's the deal. To get to a place of superior service so that you can help people. What else matters? Nothing. That's what. Absolutely, positively, nothing. And there it is, episode 4038 of Grow Great, the podcast. It really is about higher human performance, namely yours. And today I know it was sales oriented, but all of us from solopreneurs to bigger operators, we've got to make sales. But we got to make sales on the terms that ideally suit our prospects and our clients. In short, we've got to make it a remarkable experience for the people that we strive to serve. If we can't do that, then I question why we're in business. Go to the website, growgreat.com. You can connect with me all kinds of ways. You can subscribe to the Grow Great email newsletter, should you choose to. I can tell you what I would like you to do from me. I'd like you to subscribe to the podcast. I'd like you to share it with a friend and tell other people about it. Serving CEOs, business owners, and executives is what I do. You can read all about me, who I serve, and how I serve. And you can even read more and find out more about my most recent endeavor, and that is I'm trying to serve a really narrow, specific group of people called elder law attorneys. Yeah. Yeah, if you think your niche is too narrow, get in line behind me, because I'm going really narrow and really deep. Hey, greetings from Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio.